You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
But there's some real fascists out here.
In 2016, there was a deal made between Turkey and Europe in an attempt to stem the flow of refugees into Europe. It would work by returning one Syrian refugee from the Greek islands to Turkey, and in exchange, a Syrian asylum seeker in Turkey would be found a home in Europe. Early this year, after intense bombings in the Idlib province of Syria, the Turkish president Recep Tayyip Erdogan encouraged thousands of refugees to move through Greece to Europe. He said he would open the Greek and Turkish border, which, under that 2016 EU-Turkey statement, he had been tasked to protect from irregular crossings. The resulting influx of asylum seekers, migrants and refugees into Greece was met with violence at the borders, with Greek police using tear gas, water cannons and stun grenades. In response, in an attempt to further halt that movement, Europe agreed to pay Turkey 6 billion euros. Just over half of this has been paid out. By the beginning of March, renewed violence at the border was rife amid speculation the previous deal between the EU and Turkey had fallen through. There were videos of Greek border guards shooting at a dinghy containing people seeking refuge in Greece, along with the 450 people trapped in a naval vessel in Lesbos, forbidden to lodge asylum claims. Turkey also deployed 1,000 police officers to its border to prevent Greece pushing migrants and refugees back. Thousands of people were stuck between the Turkish and Greek borders. As this was happening, COVID-19 was spreading through Europe. I wanted to understand how the spread of COVID-19 was going to impact those currently stuck between each border and what measures were being taken to protect those people. My friend Milad is from Germany, a child of refugees. He knows many languages and went to volunteer on the Greek island of Samos last year to support those who needed support in both the Farsi and Dari languages. I asked Milad if he could put me in touch with anyone who is there currently to speak to this situation. He pointed me in the direction of a Facebook group set up to coordinate volunteers heading to Greece. There I found a few people who wanted to speak to me. We'll hear from them soon, and perhaps in the coming days as well as the situation develops. Natalie Gruber is from Austria. Since 2015, she's been involved in the refugee crisis as a volunteer on different borders throughout Europe. She works as a volunteer for the organisation Jusor, which means bridge in Arabic. It's an association founded in 2015 by Syrian refugee Kutayba Sazur and Natalie with the goal of developing an online platform to connect everyone involved in the European refugee crisis. Before we hear her interview, we're going to hear this brief clip she sent me from a video filmed at the Pazarkule Park. The Turkish police seem to be preparing for evacuation of Pazarkule camp, but nobody knows what their plan is for the thousands of people still at the border.
The Turkey policeman bring us here between line of the Greece and the Turkey. And we can't go back. I don't know what they want to do. All the people are scared. I don't know what to do. What they want to do. The families, the children, the women are here. And the police stopped so much people behind the Turkey line.
Tourist people, I think.
Police had informed the people in the camp at Pazarkule and Edirne that they would be evacuated. Some were forced on buses, others were forced to gather in the no man's land between the two border crossings. Turkish military then started destroying the camp, even setting it on fire. So, 2 weeks ago, Natalie travelled to Turkey with other volunteers given the huge number of refugees stuck between the border of Turkey and Greece, forced there by authorities on either side. Natalie arrived in Odina, a city close to the border with Greece. And it was too difficult to get into the camp. Natalie said police were discouraging people to help there. The group of volunteers split, some staying there and forming connections and others heading home to work from there. She's working on a crowdfunding campaign where the money goes directly to purchasing supplies that can be distributed, such as food, medicine, sanitary products, blankets and plastic sheets for tents because real tents aren't allowed. I spoke to Natalie while she was in Austria. I started by asking her what the situation is at the border.
So basically, it's only one camp, like one huge camp at the border in Idyene. And it's not an official camp. So it's basically just a large area on a field where police and military closed off the area around the border. And inside, when I arrived there, were 15,000 people who were not allowed to build normal tents or have normal tents. In the beginning, we distributed some and they were all taken away from them. So plastic sheets and sticks to make makeshift tents are allowed, but no tents. And the situation actually changed quite a bit from the time that I was there until right now. And today was another big escalation, I would say. So throughout the last 2 weeks, police has been constantly reducing the food that the official NGOs are allowed to distribute, which was already very little to begin with, which is why we actually did the same, because it was just not enough for all the people that were there. And they had to get up really early in the morning at like 4 a.m. to queue for 7 or 8 hours just to get a bit of food. And so that amount that was distributed has decreased a lot in the past 1.5 weeks.
Right.
And the last 2 days, people still had to wait for about 8 hours to just get one cracker each.
Wow.
And yeah, so that is a big problem, just like basic shelter and food. But at the same time, there's not really any medical personnel there. People are, in severe cases, they are taken to the hospital, but then right back to the border again. So we had a case last week where a woman gave birth, I think in the seventh month of pregnancy. And then right after she delivered, she was taken back to the border with her baby.
A premature
baby. We were able to find a solution for that. So we actually were able to organize a hotel room for them to stay in, but it took 4 hours of negotiations with police until we managed to do that. In general, the situation got a lot worse the past few days. And today, the Turkish police started doing what they actually told us they would be doing soon for a long time, which is that they started evacuating the camp. They say it's due to corona. The people that are still there today, it was like 6,000 or 7,000, they were given the choice to either go on buses that would allegedly bring them to Istanbul. But in the past, there were many instances where people were told they would be brought back to Istanbul and ended up somewhere else, in kind of like detention camps that we don't know where exactly they are located and what exactly happens inside. So people don't want to take that option.
Right.
And the other option they were given today is to go into the no man's land between the two border crossings of Greece and Turkey. And this is where they have been gathering all the people now in the past 5 hours. And the thing is that we have no idea what will happen in the next few hours. So
they've been given a deadline to choose, or?
Yeah, it was now you have to decide. And while they were still considering their options, police already, we don't know if it was police or people they hired, but people started destroying the makeshift tents and everything. So there's nothing left right now anymore.
So the actual camp has been destroyed. And how many people were in that camp?
The last numbers I got from our team was 2 days ago. It was about the official numbers from the police we got 2 days ago was 6,000 people. And that estimation is based on the food packages they distribute. But we know that many people did not receive any food. So we expect the number to be a bit higher, like 7,000 or 8,000 people.
Wow.
And Now the situation is this, that the camp has been absolutely destroyed today. There's nothing left there. And several thousands of people are stuck in the no man's land between the two border crossings. A few chose to get on the buses, so we asked them to send us locations of where they are going to, because we're not sure if they really will be brought back to Istanbul. People are absolutely terrified because they have no idea what that means now.
Yeah.
The biggest fear is, of course, that Turkey would close the border behind them. And our teams spoke to the Greek military, who made clear once again today that they will not open the border in any case. And that, like, they also stressed a lot on the fact that they will not allow any food distribution or aid distribution from the Greek side.
So it has, you know, there has been a very obvious change with the kind of impending spread of this virus.
Yeah. So
and would this be the same with the other islands?
So the thing is that on the islands, they have actually locked down the camps in the past few days already.
Okay. So
especially on Lesbos, I don't even know why they would do that, but they cut off the water supply. So they cut off the taps around Moria. And actually, nobody's allowed to leave the camp anymore, and volunteers are not permitted to go inside anymore.
This is more, it seems like also a dire situation if there's no water.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
The thing that I keep going back to is that everybody around the whole world right now keeps telling everybody to wash their hands.
And yes.
And
that is not possible either at the border in Turkey or on the camps on the islands.
So it's not possible at all?
No.
And on top of that, there is no kind of certainty around food or shelter.
Right, and people's immune system are really weak already. 2 weeks ago when I was there, everybody was coughing already, and they are malnourished. They live basically outdoors without any shelter. They don't have any medical aid. So, like, I'm not sure if corona spread already to the people in the camp at the border or to the people in the camps on the Greek islands. I believe it's very possible.
Yeah.
Actually, one of our team members in Turkey is probably infected with it now. But he doesn't get any testing, so we don't know for sure. But if it spreads, or if it already spread, that would be like one of the biggest humanitarian crises I've ever seen.
Yeah, what are the legal implications of this? I mean, this is a human rights violation. It's a crime, essentially.
What is happening at the Greek and Turkish border is just absolutely illegal. So the Greek sides especially, they don't care about European laws or human rights at all anymore. So first of all, they stopped asylum applications, as you probably know.
Right.
People cannot apply for asylum anymore in Greece. And those who arrived after that decision was made are actually fined large sums of money or even get jail sentences for it. And the people in Turkey that we met, and like each single one we met who had at some point managed to cross the border into Greece and was then pushed back illegally, each of them told us the same story, which is as soon as they were caught on the Greek side by police or military, they were brought to police stations where they were systematically beaten up. So in each police station, they were beaten up again and again and again. They all had their money, their papers, and their phones taken away from them in Greece by the police before being illegally pushed back. And the most absurd cases, and we have several of those already, are refugees that actually have legal residency in European countries and went to Greece to visit relatives and then were illegally pushed back to Turkey, where they haven't even been before, and their documents taken away from them. So they have residency in Germany or wherever else, and are now in Turkey without proof of that residency, and are stuck there because they don't get appointments at the embassy without papers.
Wow.
Yeah. So we are also in touch with the Border Violence Monitoring Network, and they actually published a report about also the, in general, the situation in all of Europe, but also the Turkish situation right now. And that was published on Wednesday, I think. Yeah, not sure. Like, this is all we can do right now. We also try with another NGO in Germany. We try to start proceedings at the European Court for Human Rights.
Right. So there is. I was going to ask in terms of whether there is any government doing something about this at all.
No. To be honest, no. The only thing. So there was a lot of protests in the last few weeks, trying to get, especially the European institutions to act. And now, finally, after like really a lot of protests, the European Parliament yesterday actually gave a statement that they would suggest doing something about the situation. So this is all that's happening until now. Okay. Every other government is not doing anything at all. Or even worse, they are helping the Greek side. So there's German and Austrian police in Greece helping the Greek side, basically. And of course, there was a lot of money given to Frontex to secure the borders. Yeah.
Is there anything that people can do? You know, if they are.
Yes. You're asking about people in New Zealand specifically or in general?
Generally and in New Zealand, yes.
Yeah. So generally what we are trying is to get more people to participate in, like, I would say demonstrations, but that is not possible right now due to Corona. But so we are trying to have various forms of online protest. There's online demonstrations, but then there's also activities started by several NGOs to like write letters or emails or call representatives. This is a major thing we are doing. Of course, for immediate relief, we are crowdfunding, and that money, as I said, is going only into purchasing aid supplies for the people at the border and in Istanbul.
Right.
Where thousands of refugees are stranded right now because they had their documents taken away in Greece. And there's a law in Turkey that forbids NGOs from helping people without documents. So there's thousands of people homeless on the streets of Istanbul right now who can't even get help from NGOs. So they only rely on the goodwill of locals and of our initiatives and similar initiatives. In addition to the work we do at the border, this is our second focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not surprised. Like, we do obviously run these stories, always trying to find out what's going on there and speak to that. But when you talk about the reality of actually, you know, people having no choice to wash their hands or to have food or to have shelter and generally, and then when there is a global pandemic coming.
Yeah. Right. And this is like, I mean, the corona pandemic now is also a great excuse for governments, for both the European and the Turkish government, because the European governments, of course, are now saying we cannot evacuate people from the camps in Greece because they might be infected. And then that would like spread it even more.
Oh, God. And
Turkey is using the same excuse, saying like this is why they evacuate the border now and force people in the no man's land. But at the same time, European governments are actually like still organizing flights to bring their own citizens back here. So in that case, it's possible, but for refugees, it's not.
Jeez. Okay. Is there anything you would like to add specifically?
I don't know. There's so much to say.
Sorry.
I asked my team what they would like me to say, and or the teams on the ground actually. And I also asked some of the refugees what they would like me to say. Actually, we also publish lots of their voice messages and videos directly from them, because the one thing they all want the most is for people to know about what's going on.
Yeah.
So we get many requests of refugees at the border to share their stories and their videos. And so what they all basically want is to just let people know what's going on. So sharing what's going on is their number one priority. Then also the other thing they all agree on, what I should be saying today to you, is that what is going on now is that the Turkish government and the European Union are playing with the lives of tens of thousands of people only for political reasons. And the refugees themselves, the most educated ones, were aware of that from the beginning on. But by now, it's clear to all of them. And they are just shocked, as much as I am, to see that the European Union, being as rich as it is, claiming to be the home of human rights, holding the Nobel Peace Prize, and having contributed to the conflicts that the people are fleeing from right now, is just behaving like a failed state when it comes to the refugees.
That was Natalie Gruber. You can hear the full interview there online later on. We spoke for much longer than what was just played. To finish, I'm going to play a clip that Natalie sent me, that was sent to her by one of the refugees currently in the middle of the borders. His name is Omar. It was his message he wanted to get out to the world. It's in Arabic, and I asked my friends Karim, Ismail and Isra Aziz to translate it for me. You'll hear Karim's voice in English.
We want permanent life. Which
one? The government.
Please open the door.
مرحبا صباح الخير سيدة ان شاء الله بكون ازعجتك انا حاليا
موجود في اسطنبول I hope I didn't bother you now I went back to Istanbul if it is okay for you and you have a free time there are some issues I want to take your advice on them only if you have free time if not never mind I only hope that I did not bother you. May Allah bless you. I couldn't understand who with whom or who is against whom. I have spent 20 days there in the borders. I was observing what is going on and watching people's behavior. I saw many things. The sceneries that I saw was hard, even from the border employees who claimed they are humanity supporters. They weren't soldiers or military or even security, so why they behave with the refugees like that? They were worse than others, like Greek soldiers. I saw many things that I couldn't understand why it is happening. I want to send the message that we need to prevent those people from continuing humiliation practices on refugees. I hope that you understand what I need to explain. I know that you don't have the authority to do this, and it is not your job, but you could spread my words, and there is not anybody here I could trust. I couldn't speak easily here, and there isn't anyone to send my voice to, and what I need others to know. Briefly, I don't know anyone to help me in this. Why they want to do this with the refugees? Why they are dealing with them with such a way? Honestly, there are some refugees that even couldn't write their names in Arabic. Those simple people suffering because of others' mistakes. If you have any idea of how I could deliver their voice, like where I'm supposed to go or whom I'm supposed to meet, I don't have anything except saying there is no power. But that from Allah. I came back from there, and I know that it is a dirty game. But I told myself, who knows? Maybe I could do some few things to improve the situation. The problem isn't about money-wise. As the Greek government used to pay heaps for preventing refugees from accessing their land borders, Europe could accommodate all the refugees, as they will increase their worker capacity, and it will rise the European economy. They are spending, I guess, like $17 million or €6 billion. I know that the problem is identification for each refugee. For me, I have enough money to reach Europe, and I am an educated person and well experienced. But there are lots of refugees who are extremely in need for the help as they face danger or in sometimes sign sensitive papers that they, could cost them their life and their children's life. From the scenery that I had saw, it is just terrible. Things that convert your hair into white instantly. The main problem is not the money, but from my point of view, it is a religious problem. The majority of refugees are Muslims. They don't want to allow spreading Islam in Europe. I don't know your religion, and it's not my business, but it is just a humanitarian issue. We could see what Corona have did with people in other countries, and I have seen nothing happening here, and I give you the authority to write all what I say. I don't care about anything or any government. Even in my own country, I have faced a death penalty from the Syrian ruling regime since the age of 15, and I don't care here at Turkey. I hope to die with honor of delivering those people's voice, because if one die, better than 100 die for dirty political games.
اكتبي بس انه يوصل شيء عن معاناة الناس يعني بدي اموت بطريقة اني يوصل شيء لهالناس يعني لانه واحد يروح احسن ما تروح 100 و200 شخص مقابل مصالح سياسية شو تسمعي مني مقابلة كذا انا جاهز واكتبي شو
Omar finishes the video by saying he is ready for any interview. He wanted to share the clip so that the world will know what is going on, and said that that is the most important thing for the people whose lives are at stake in this political showdown. We're going to be back after this. This is Born of This Earth by Troy Kingi.
Just the other week, I saw an exodus. Thousands fleeing from destruction. They'd rather brave the seas than their countrymen. There's no dreams left in their homeland. I know the monitors, but how can you turn away a child? Love is born. Propaganda brought the powers, made their leader into a man. Wanna make your own currency, break free from the dollar. Fast forward to the present and your people just trying to survive. This was a forced entry. It was a crime. Left the people to pick up the pieces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.